How secure is your personal information? Is there really any privacy when it comes to your personal communications, whether through email, telephone, or online conversations? You might be surprised by the answers to these questions and many more. My interview with Dr. Catherine Albrecht is next here on the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said. You talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Recently, Senator Rand Paul was excoriated by the media and colleagues on both sides of the aisle for his filibuster aimed at delaying a renewal of the Patriot Act that contains, among other things, what are described as illegal spying operations and mass data collection efforts of the most private and personal communications of American citizens. Flying more under the radar was the recent passage of the Freedom Act, which curtailed the so-called Section 215 bulk collection of telephone metadata, such as who called whom, but it did not stop the NSA from collecting and reading the content of the calls. Here to discuss this current state of affairs is my guest, Dr. Catherine Albrecht. Dr. Albrecht is an internationally known and respected privacy researcher, consumer advocate, best-selling author, and nationally syndicated radio host. She is also a senior executive with the private search engines StartPage and IxQuick, and is on the team behind the new privacy-protecting email program StartMail to make powerful encryption available to everyone. Catherine holds a doctorate in human development and consumer education from Harvard University, has studied at the MIT Media Lab, and received a master's from Harvard in technology, innovation, and education. Catherine, welcome to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Hey, Pastor. It's wonderful to be on with you.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing. You know, surveillance has become a multi-billion dollar business. Governments and corporations have made data collection a top priority. Is it fair to say that governments and corporations have a near insatiable thirst for data related to their customers and citizens?
Well, we all know that knowledge is power, and so if you're looking to have power, as governments do, then the best way to do that is amass as much knowledge as possible on the citizenry. This is sort of an encroachment that eventually leads to tyranny. We've seen this, if you look at the 20th century, the most surveilled people, arguably, on the entire globe were the Soviet citizens under Joseph Stalin.
Yes.
They also were the people who were most likely to be killed by their own governments because Stalin used his aggressive surveillance network, which at that time didn't involve the internet, which didn't yet exist. It involved monitoring people's mail, literally steaming it open and reading the contents of people's mail to each
yes.
other, and enlisting a whole army of informants. Some people say that as many as one in six or even one in three people who lived under his rule were actually informing on their neighbors. So talk about a terrifying prospect. So we've always associated that kind of government surveillance with totalitarian and brutality, and yet here we are living in the 21st century, and what I like to explain to people is the 20th century tyranny. 20th century surveillance was really at the point of a gun. You do it my way. You let
yes.
me rifle through your stuff, or boots, you know, jackbooted thugs with tanks will come and take you away.
That's right.
21st century tyranny has really changed in character. And I think what has happened is with the advance of psychology, the better understanding of human nature, the powers that be, which are both government and the corporations that provide the surveillance material to them and use them for their own purposes to make money, that they've really found a new way to surveil people. And what's different now is if you were living under Stalin, he went into the Ukraine and took all of their food. He actually had jackbooted thugs go into every home and remove all the food and all the seeds so they couldn't plant anything, and it resulted in a massive famine that killed millions of people. Now you don't have to send jackbooted thugs in. You can create, and this is the genius, they've created ways to get us to volunteer to provide the information or what it is that they're looking for, and not only to provide it, but to thank them for taking it, and then to pay them for the privilege. And I'll give you just one example.
Yes.
Google, which is arguably the biggest data collection company on earth, which the NSA and all the governments turn to when they want information on people, rather than collect their own data, they just let Google collect it and then
yes.
they access it.
Yeah.
Google has actually found a way to put surveillance cameras with microphones in people's very homes so that report back everything that is said and done in their home to Google's centralized servers. And they do this in the form of a drop cam, the service where you can buy for, I think it's $199 or even $99 in some cases. You can buy a little miniature camera with a microphone. You can hook it up through the USB cable on your computer. You can aim it at your literally at your bed, your bedroom, your dining room table, and you can stream all of the information that's captured within your home directly to the Google servers. And so had Stalin wanted to do something like that, it would have cost him a huge amount of money to get the jackbooted thugs to beat down your door and force you at gunpoint to put this thing in your home. That's 20th century tyranny. 21st century tyranny, Google dresses it all up as a cool, sophisticated product that you've just got to have, and they play nice music and good ads, and they get you to not only put this in your home voluntarily and thank them for the privilege, but they also make a whole lot of money when you pay that $200 for the drop cam in the first place, and then they get to surveil and watch everything.
Yes. Yeah, that is so true. I just, Catherine, just read an article that came out June the 6th. It was over the weekend, and this was from CNET.com, a technology site. And the headline says, Americans resigned to giving up their privacy, says study. So this is a study that the University of Pennsylvania Annenberg School for Communication did. And essentially, the statistics are telling them, based on their survey data, the statistics are telling them that Americans are willing to give up their data if they can get something in exchange for it, be it convenience. And I think that's what you're talking about with Google, isn't it?
Well, I think it goes beyond that, because it's really this sort of selfie generation, this idea that I am my own, the star of my own show.
Yes.
Because why else would you want a camera in your own home to record everything that occurs in the home? I mean, this would have been the worst nightmare, certainly my parents' worst nightmare growing up, and it's currently my worst nightmare.
For sure.
The idea that with all the surveillance cameras on the streets, watching my license plate at every intersection, recording me when I walk into a store, possibly satellite viewing my backyard, the one place that I have that's a sanctuary where I can get away from all the surveillance is my own home. I draw the shades, I turn off the phone, and I am alone. And there's something fundamental in the human psyche, really, in just our makeup. We're very social creatures. We're very attuned to what other people think about us, and we need an opportunity to let our hair down and relax and just be ourselves among those who we know and trust. And this notion that you're constantly being watched, you're constantly being observed, you're always on, you have to preen and sit up properly and always being watched is really a recipe for mental illness. And so I think this idea that we have to take pictures of ourselves all the time, and the selfie stick is a good example of this. It's actually a device that you can put your phone on and hold it at a distance and take a photograph of yourself by pushing a button. You know, I mean, how far we've gone to the point where we feel that we need to be on camera all the time.
Yeah.
And I remember I had a friend whose teenage daughter was attending school at a public school in Texas. And she went in to pick up her daughter and walked into the English classroom. And there on the wall was a huge poster. And it said, "Is a life not watched even worth living?"
Oh, boy. Wow.
And then she thought, wow, what kind of propaganda are they feeding the students in the school? But that's really the mentality.
That's right.
So people put the drop cam in their home because they think that the events that occur in their home are so important that they need to record every last moment. And if we're not careful, we're going to get to the point where that's happening around the clock, no matter where we are.
That's right. And I'd like to come back to some of that technology that is emerging and people are willingly buying and placing in their homes. I'll come back to that. But Catherine, what would you say to the individual that says, well, but I don't have any of that stuff, and I don't have any plans to buy any of that stuff. I'm just your average person. I don't spend a lot of time on the internet. I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't make very many phone calls. What would you say to them about surveillance if they think they're not being subject to this?
Well, I think as a Christian, obviously, I have biblical concerns about what's happening today as well. So even if you can get off the grid and go live off in the woods in a tent somewhere, you are still living on this planet, which is being impacted by massive spiritual forces that are political forces. They're corporate technological forces. We are very fast building a total surveillance slash control grid for the entire planet.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing that we've built, and I remember in the mid-90s when I saw my very first website, this thing called the web hasn't been around that long. And anybody old enough to remember what it was like before it knows that this thing has completely taken over our lives quickly.
Yes.
And what do we call it? We call it the net. Well, where there's a net, there's a predator and there's prey. Or we call it the web. And where there's a web, there's a spider.
That's a good illustration.
So this thing that we're building, which wants to extend its tentacles not only into watching our cars on public streets or mapping every square inch of the planet's surface, but actually wants to monitor us in our homes, monitor what we say, what we do, what we spend, who we are, what we think, the sorts of emails we write, the sorts of things we look up online. And ultimately, this thing wants to be in our flesh. And if you talk about Google, which is the corporation developing the drop cam and the home of the future, which monitors your breathing and has robots doing facial recognition wandering the corridors of your house, they are looking forward to the day when we will have literally implants. Regina Dugan, who is a former head of DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Administration, which is a creepy part of the military, she actually did a talk, you can find it on YouTube, in which she talked about an electronic tattoo, which is literally a sticker that you put on your body, and it enables you to be scanned as basically have an RFID chip. That is the same RFID chip that you can literally implant into flesh. She also talked about someday when people would be required to take vitamin authentication every day. This would be a pill you would swallow in the morning, containing a radio frequency microchip that would cause, as she puts it, your arms to become antennas, and everything you touch, you would transmit your unique ID number, transmitting from this thing in your digestive tract.
Wow.
That's Google. That's creepy. And
yeah, that is.
They just hired as their director of engineering, Ray Kurzweil, who is he's like a cult leader for the singularity. He believes that by 2030, we will no longer even be human, that we will have merged with the network. We will be able to upload our souls for eternal safekeeping into this vast network that's being created.
Yes.
And this idea of offering people a false version of immortality in which they'll live inside of a network created by the likes of Ray Kurzweil is about as close to hell as I can think of without literally being it.
Well, I've been watching that too, and that's a perfect segue into transhumanism. Now, we're going to talk about that on this program today, but that is what's going on. Technocracy and transhumanism merging and using technology to do that. So talk about implant technology. I ran across an article that came out May the 26th. This was actually in The Australian, and it was talking about implants. And Visa, of all people, or all corporations, did a or commissioned a survey among Australians, and they found that close to 32% of Australians surveyed said they would willingly receive an implant in their hand if it meant that they could shop quicker, not have to fiddle with a debit card, and just go past the scanning machine and wave their hand over it. They would be happy to receive one of those.
It's quite shocking how quickly this has gained currency. And I think it's happening because young people today, and indeed even adults, are embracing the technology without a sound biblical background to understand what the Bible told us literally 2,000 years ago. The disciple, John, who obviously lived and broke bread with Jesus Christ, when he was an old man in exile on the Isle of Patmos off the coast of Greece, he had a vision, and he was taken to be shown what would happen in the end of days. And this is, he wrote it all down. He was told to write it down and preserve it for the time when it would actually happen. And that's the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Christian Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And in Revelation, and it's easy to remember where this is because it's in chapter 13. 13 often has a connotation of being kind of an unlucky number.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the last three verses, verses 16 through 18 of chapter 13. The Bible talks about a time when a beast will rule the whole planet. There will be the sort of the spider sitting in the center of the web
mm-hmm.
that will cause all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and bond or enslaved or imprisoned, to receive a mark on their right hand or their forehead. And that will be a number, 666, the number of man or the number of a man. And they will also be forced to worship the beast or his image. And unless they take this mark and worship the beast, they will not be able to buy or sell. And the Bible goes on to talk about severe punishments that will befall the people who take this mark, that they will receive a physical punishment of breaking out in horrible sores, and they will receive an eternal punishment of having the wrath of God poured out in of his indignation, and they will have no rest day or night and will be tormented pretty much for all eternity. So it's a pretty serious thing. It is a lot of people view the book of Revelation as being kind of a confusing or scary book. I actually view it as being kind of one of the bookends. We've got the fall that happened in Eden, and then we've got the resolution of the fall that happens as Christ, of course, returns. He rescues his own, resolves the horrible thing that's been happening to humankind for all of our history, which is that the prince of this world is Satan himself. He actually binds up the dragon and throws him in a pit with a key.
Hallelujah.
Where he can't bother people anymore. So it's really it's a beautiful story. I look to the book of Revelation. It's got beautiful passages there towards the very end that talk about when God himself, he will be our God, we will be his people, he will wipe away every tear from every eye, that the former things will pass away, there will be no more death or suffering. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to look forward to. And it's been likened to childbirth, that when a woman is in labor, of course, she's miserable, she's screaming, she's in a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
But when she comes through the other side of it, she gets to hold her child in her arms and the peace that follows that and look at this new life. And,
yes.
And it's a beautiful moment. And so we're going through those birth pains. We're going through a lot of the agony. Some people say it's just gotten started. Some people say we're in the midst of it. I'm not quite sure where we are, but
yeah.
Certainly we all feel it, that we're going through some rough times, and the other side of that is going to be looking into the face of our Savior directly.
That's right. Himself. Yes. Amen. Amen. So this is all moving us in that direction. I think we're in agreement on that. Companies such as Amazon, Apple, Samsung, to name a few, are marketing products that record your health metrics. I think I saw a picture, it was today, of President Obama with an Apple Watch on. And that didn't surprise me. He is a techie kind of guy. He likes that stuff. But I thought he, of all people, should know exactly what's going on with that. And yet, people seem oblivious to the danger of that.
Yeah, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, there was a businessman who held a press conference in Sweden because he claimed to be the first person on the globe to actually put a numbered microchip in his right hand, and that with a wave of his right hand, he can actually buy things. Whether he's the first, I think is debatable, but this trend to put an implant, an RFID microchip implant with a unique ID number in it, link it up with a Bitcoin account or a credit card account, and then literally use your right hand for unlocking your office door, logging onto your computer, starting your car, and especially for buying things at the store. You no longer would need to carry a wallet or cash. You could just wave your hand, and the microchip in your hand would transmit your unique ID number. Mm-hmm. And back when John wrote the book of Revelation, it was very hard to imagine that there would ever be a time when they could identify all the people on the globe. I mean, that was they didn't even know the New World existed. North and South America were mysteries. So the idea that we get to the point where not only have we identified all people in the globe, which National Geographic now claims we have done, contact the last uncontacted tribes, but all people on the globe are now accounted for. That's one piece. And then the piece of buying and selling with a number would have to become widespread. And when my grandmother told me about this when I was a little girl in the 1970s, I remember thinking, how would you buy and sell with a number? At that time, I'd never seen a credit card. My parents bought things with cash. Occasionally, they'd write a check. But I'd never seen a barcode in the 1970s. They didn't come into wide use until the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, how are they going to do that part of the mark of the beast, the buying and selling with a number? And nowadays, you can ask any child how you buy and sell with a number, and they'll say, well, do you mean the number in my Apple Watch? Do you mean the number in my Disney wristband RFID tag? Do you mean my credit card, my PayPal? I mean, it's obvious that you can buy and sell with a number now.
Right.
So then the missing component is, how do you actually put the number into or onto the right hand? Per what Revelation talks about. And based on this Swede who just held the press conference, you can inject an RFID microchip into the hand. And by the way, I have a whole website on this at antichips.com showing that these implanted microchips actually cause cancer in between 1 and 10% of laboratory animals that receive them, and also in domestic cats and dogs. So it's not a good idea to chip your animal, and certainly not a good idea to chip yourself or an aging relative.
Yes.
We actually put a stop to the microchipping of humans in 2007. Blue Cross Blue Shield was doing it. Harvard was, their IT department was considering it. And we came out. I actually worked for 6 months with the Associated Press to do an investigative story on this. And when the story broke that these were causing horrible cancers, and experts from cancer centers around the country said that no one should receive a microchip, then we watched the company, the Verichip company's stock value plummet from about $11 a share to about 24 cents a share. They absolutely lost everything, and they were delisted from the stock exchange. And since that time, 2007, all those microchips were removed from those individuals. The Alzheimer's Center in Florida, which had been implanting people, removed all the chips, and no one has tried to microchip anyone in this country for medical reasons since 2007. So we scored a victory there, and the Lord was absolutely with us in that. And I think it's just a question of people becoming aware and not becoming enslaved and deceived, because that's really what this technology does. The Bible talks says that people will say, who is like the beast and who can make war with it?
Mm-hmm.
And they will be worshiping the beast. They will actually voluntarily worship the beast.
Yes.
And we're already seeing this. I mean, you go into any restaurant and half the families in there aren't even talking to each other. They're staring down into the little glow of the thing in their hands. So we, in just 7 years since the smartphone came out, we have become absolutely addicted to these devices. And so it's going to be a very easy matter to say, you never want to be away from your smartphone. We can implant it in you. Just come along and take the implant.
Yes. When you've answered the question that that I raised earlier, what would we say to individuals who say, well, I don't have all these things, and so I'm not being watched, and my data is not being collected. Well, if you use a debit card, that data is being collected, or a credit card, or if you pay bills online, chances are that your city's already installed smart meters that track and record your utilities, GPS devices on your phone. Right here in my city, which is a small Ohio city, only 40,000 people, we've got cameras at most of the major intersections by the traffic lights. We've got cameras in parking lots. Even on the interstate, there's an interstate that runs close to us here, and there are cameras on the interstate. So all of that is collecting data on people, whether they understand it or not.
Yeah, and not only that, but like I said, if you got into the woods, the thing that we are building, and I believe that we're actually building the body of the beast, the beast is described in Revelation, that we are building its sensory apparatus, its ability to hear,
yes,
its ability to see, its ability to sense, its ability to monitor. It's extraordinary the amount of information that they, being Google or the government or whoever is building their part of the system, wants to be able to collect. And if you decide to just go off in the woods, let's say you don't even have a phone and you don't even use any utilities and you just live in a tent in the woods, it will come for you.
Yes.
We actually, I do a daily radio program, and I actually talked on my show about a man who was literally camping in the middle of the national forest. He was miles from anything. He looked up from his tent and saw a camera literally in the tree. And he took the camera down and called them up, and they came out and got it and wouldn't talk to him about the purpose of the camera. But, you know, this is when I've written the co-author of the best-selling book Spy Chips to talk about the RFID world in which everything will contain a sensor. And, in fact, Target is going to begin rolling out these on all of their products this year. So you can actually take home my RFID spy-chipped products that can report home and be read through walls and through shopping bags. It's horrible. But they were actually talking with a straight face about RFID tagging every tree in the forest so that
you would
be able to have the entire forest network be alive and sense everything that goes on in the forest. So if you think you can just get rid of your phone and go off into the woods, think again, because they're already accounting for everything.
Mm.
They want not, you know, they talk about if a tree falls in the woods and nobody hears it, well, no longer will a tree be able to fall in the woods and nobody hear it, because they're going to be everywhere on the globe with their sensory apparatus.
Yes, yes.
And that's because Satan wants the powers of God.
Yeah.
I mean, he's wanted them from the time he first rebelled and took a third of the angels of heaven with him to become demons. He wants to be worshipped, which is why the mark will be associated with worship. What are the powers of God? Omnipotence, omniscience, mm-hmm, omnipresence.
That's right.
All of these are powers that Satan is using humankind to build for himself. The omnipresence in everybody's home, in everybody's hip pocket, mm-hmm, implanted in everybody's body.
Yeah.
The omniscience, knowing everything so that nothing can happen that he's not aware of. And the omnipotence, the ability to create life, to create new species of life, to genetically modify things, create test tube babies, destroy entire continents with nuclear weapons. I mean, all of this stuff is being built by humankind.
Yeah, that's
and it's being built, really, if you look back at the Garden of Eden, what was the deal that was struck? The serpent hissed in Eve's ear, eat from the fruit, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, eat from it and you will become like gods, knowing everything God knows. You'll become gods yourself. And so what has happened since the Garden of Eden is that satanic hiss has driven the development of technology along every step to this point where we're literally building the very chains that will enslave us.
That is excellent.
We're building them lickety-split, faster than you can even imagine. Ray Kurzweil talks about an exponential growth of this, where from one day to the next, you won't even be able to keep up. And we're the ones building the robocops, and we're the ones building the surveillance drones. We're building it all.
Yes.
But when that control falls into the hands of Satan himself, the beast of the end times, then the entire planet will be at his mercy.
Yeah. Someone has suggested that this is a data-driven form of omniscience, to your point. So what do we do about this, I guess, is the question. One of the reasons that Soaring Eagle Radio is on the air and talking to individuals such as yourself is to educate, inform, and then encourage folks to start talking about these things and do something about it. Now, you've been involved in this for a good many years. One of your recent efforts, though, that is very exciting, at least for me personally, because I see an opportunity to use this, is your children's book, I Won't Take the Mark, A Bible Book and Contract for Children. Let's talk about that.
Well, thank you. Since when I was first told about this as a young child by my grandma, And I, as I said, in the 1970s, I thought this would happen in thousands of years, that I'd tell my kids and they'd tell their kids, right, and our descendants would know in the distant future. I never did I imagine in the 1970s that this would come to pass in my lifetime, that we would actually have the ability to buy and sell with a number in the right hand.
Right.
So because my grandmother had that conversation with me, it actually caused me in adulthood to pick up my Bible and read it and know that its words were true. And though I'd given my life to the Lord as a child, I really renewed that passion and began to walk with him because of my knowledge of the times we're living in and because of my grandmother's warning. So this is a conversation we need to have with our kids. Back when you and I were kids, everybody knew about the mark of the beast. But I challenge any listener, find the child in your life that you most love, or your children or your grandkids, and ask them to tell you about the mark of the beast. What does Revelation say? And they will say the what of the, huh? They don't know.
Yes, right.
Pastors aren't talking about it from the pulpit.
Right.
I know kids who've gone to Sunday school every Sunday and VBS every summer, Vacation Bible School. They don't know a single thing about it. They have no idea. They only know it from heavy metal music, maybe.
Right.
So we as parents have an obligation to tell this generation. It's interesting, in the entire history of Christianity on this planet, every generation has known about the mark of the beast except this one.
Yeah.
And why is that? It's not a surprise.
Right.
This generation is not being told about the mark of the beast because it is on our doorstep. We are the first generation, literally within the last 10 years, to be able to implement the mark of the beast on every person on the planet. We now have that capability. We never have before. Yeah. And within the last 10 years, no one will talk about it. So it's dead silence out there. So the best gift you can give a child or a grandchild in your life is a gift of this warning, because it is very likely that it will happen in their lifetime. I never used to say that. I see this happening so quickly. I think it very well may. And when we're no longer here, no one has warned them, they will have no reason not to do it. They won't know. And this is why this warning has been passed down to us for 2,000 years, preserved in the Bible. And if we lose it at the very moment that it's coming, we're going to be in big trouble. So I've written a book to facilitate the conversation. It's hard for parents and grandparents to sit down and say, hey, I want to talk to you about, you know, the mark of the beast.
Right.
So what you can do, and if you go to my website, virtuepress.com, you can actually find the book. It's also on Amazon, but you can find the book at Virtue Press the way it was intended, which is with a certificate that promises, after your child reads the book, promises not to take the mark, and you can sign it and witness it. It comes with a beautiful 8x10 frame that I hand-selected to match, and you can give it as a gift. We've got beautiful gift wrap on the website. You can literally just order this to be sent across the country, and the child you love will read the book. It's beautifully illustrated. It's on high-quality paper. Everyone who's seen it has marveled at how beautiful it is. Even people who are not Christians say it's the most beautiful book they've ever seen. So I put in 10 years to develop this book. With the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I'll come right out and say it. I felt an urgency to get this out now. And so here's the book. It's got a beautiful frame and a certificate. It has King James Scripture in a little box, and then in large print, it's got sort of the paraphrase for the children. There's nothing inserted in there that's not in the Bible. There's nothing, you know, that you wouldn't read yourself if you were actually reading about Revelation. But it's made in a format that kids probably between the ages of 3 and 15 can benefit from. And I've had a lot of adults say that they bought it just for themselves because they wanted to read the King James Scripture, understand what it said, and get the big overview. So it's an easy way to kind of inoculate your kids. And we buy all this stuff for our kids that winds up in a landfill. And I'm thinking, here's something that will be an heirloom that they will hold on to. And if it doesn't happen in their lifetimes, they will pass it on to their kids, just like I intended to when my grandmother told me.
Yes, excellent. Based on everything that we've talked about in this program, I'm going to give an exhortation to believers to stop and talk with their pastors. Number one, why aren't they teaching through the book of Revelation? We're living in those days. It's important that God's people be taught these things. And then secondly, parents, you need to sit down and discuss these things with your children. And I can't think of a better resource to use than this book, I Won't Take the Mark. It's an excellent. In fact, I've got it up on my computer right now, Catherine. I'm looking at it. It is beautiful. It's very well done.
And the nice thing is you can flip through it online, so you can actually see the pictures. And if you click it, you can zoom in and see them very up close. You can see my letter at the end to parents and grandparents. And that's at virtuepress.com. It's right there. It says, look inside this book, and you can click it, and it brings up a beautiful viewing window. You just flip through the pages, and you can actually see the book itself. And if you go to the, you can see right there, it talks about how the book is meant to go with the frame and the certificate. And if you go to the Buy Now page, which is up at the top, you can actually see the different frame packages that are available. So I recommend, it's one thing to read through a book, but then it kind of winds up on a shelf and nobody thinks about it again. This is why I really think it's important to get the frame and the certificate, because we all remember the childhood bedrooms that we woke up and got dressed in every morning. And if this is on the wall and they're looking at it morning, every morning and every night as they say their prayers, then they will never forget this promise that they've made. And the promise says, I promise never to take the mark of the beast. I promise to worship only God, because this is a key piece of the prophecy, that the devil will demand worship of him. So it says, I promise to worship only God and to call on Jesus Christ to keep my promise. And if the child in your life is not yet saved, we've actually got the sinner's prayer printed on the inside back cover of the book.
Yes.
So it's very straightforward. It's got a salvation message in there, but it's also got a message that is very much for our times, and nobody else is talking about it. And you will probably be the only person to ever share this information with your child.
Yes, that's excellent. So for those that are concerned about their privacy and how to escape the all-seeing eye of Google and other corporations, tell our listeners about Start Page and also their email options.
Absolutely. So back in 2009, I've been working on this since 1999, and 10 years into it, I began to grow concerned that I was warning people, but I was not providing solutions. And so I helped to create a private search engine that enables people to receive Google results, search results, without Google watching what they search for. And in order to understand why this is important, you need to understand that the whole reason Google existed at that time and even exists now is the whole reason they offer you a search engine is not to answer your every question. I mean, they're not your mom. They don't owe you anything. You don't pay them. The reason they give you a window is so that you will type every passing thought in your mind into the window so they can capture it and associate it with you and know what you're interested in, what you're curious about, what you had for dinner last night, who cuts your hair, because this is the stuff we type into there. And so as a result, they have become the spider in the center of the web that knows everything about us, because we think that the blinds are drawn, nobody's watching, I'm just going to type this quietly into Google and get the answer, and they're collecting every word. So I helped to create startpage.com, which you go there, it's just like Google, it's got a search window, you type your search, we give you the answers. We go to Google, we get the answers for you, we strip out all the tracking cookies, Google never sees you, they only see us, we do about 5.5 million searches a day, we give you the results privately, and then we delete all records of your visit. So we don't store your IP address, we don't know what you search for. We're based outside the U.S. in the Netherlands. I'm actually based in the U.S., and I usually say buy American, but not when it comes to privacy, because American companies have to turn over their data to the NSA.
Yes.
So we're based in the Netherlands, where we don't have to turn over data to anyone, and there is no data to turn over. So that's startpage.com. I recommend everybody give it a try. It takes a little while to get used to not using Google, but as the more of us who can break free, the better. And then Gmail is the same thing. Google created Gmail because they wanted to get access to our email, and they had no legal way to do it other than to create an email program and grant themselves permission to read it. So they copy all your attachments. If you attach a tax return, they'll open it, scan out your income, your social security number, your kids' names. They scan everything, and they store it in this massive database they've already created from their search engine. So every love letter, every, you name it, they're copying it all. And when I realized that the whole reason Gmail exists is so that Google could create a place where people would reveal their innermost thoughts, thinking no one was watching, I was so horrified that I convinced the team that I work with to create StartMail. It took us 3 years to create StartMail.com. There's a video on there with an overview of why you need it. But it's basically the easiest way to use completely private encryption that's ever been invented. It's literally one click, and you can encrypt your email to where not even the NSA can read it.
Wow. That's outstanding. That is outstanding. Well, after hearing this conversation, I can't imagine why anyone would not want to use Start Mail.
Well, I'll tell you the reason, and it's an interesting one. The reason is because Google is free, and Start Mail is $5 a month. And when you send postal mail, you put a stamp on there, you pay for that. But people have gotten accustomed to this notion that really has been fostered by Google, that email should be free.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason they give you free email is kind of like a pornographer giving you a free hotel room.
Yes.
Why pay $200 a night for a hotel room? Stay in my free hotel room that's bugged with cameras and listening devices and
yes.
everything else so that I can make money off of what I capture that you do while you're in my space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what's happening with Gmail. They give it to you for free to lure you in so that they can capture details about you that they turn around and then make money off of. And if you don't believe it, ask yourself, why is Google making billions and billions of dollars every year if all of their products are free? And the answer is those are not products. They're bait to get you to give them your personal information. Mm-hmm. And then they make money off the information they collect. And it's dangerous. These dossiers of information are bulging with more information than you could ever even dream of.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of pages on each one of us. Tens of thousands of pages. It's horrifying. So that's why we created StartMail, but we couldn't do it for free. You can't create a product and put all the servers and hire all the software engineers and do it for free. Somebody's got to pay you. But we think it's more reasonable to say, hey, pay $5 a month to have real email that nobody else is reading, including us. We never read your email. We can't read your email. No one else can read it either. Doesn't that make more sense? For $5 a month, would you really let them open all your postal mail and read everything you write? And the answer everybody gives me is absolutely not. So that it's I promised the team that I work with that Americans would be willing to spend $5 a month, and we're waiting to see if that's actually true.
Yeah.
But I certainly believe in privacy, and I certainly believe that people should get off of Google.
Yeah, there you go, folks. So startmail.com, check it out. $5 a month.
And by the way, we're giving you a free account. So if you get your account, we will give you a free account. In fact, I think it might even currently be 2 free accounts that you can give to the people you write to most. So
you
actually can help other people get private and immediately begin emailing them privately.
Yes.
And that's free.
And that's free. Catherine, any new projects coming up, anything you're focusing on right now in your research that you'd like to share?
I think the biggest concern I have right now is Target, because Target is taking something that we fought against 10 years ago with our book Spy Chips and numerous protests at Walmart and conference centers and all over the country. I've led pickets with signs and prayer vigils, you name it, against the use of RFID microchips on consumer products. And these are tiny, trackable microchips. They're like mini cell phones with GPS practically that they, being the big corporations and the retailers, would like to use to replace the barcode. And when I first heard about this plan back in 2002-ish, I actually attended a big meeting. I kind of crashed it, I will admit, a big meeting of top corporate executives where they were talking about this new technology. They had to track everything all the time, and that the public didn't want it, that the public was opposed to it. So how were they going to implement it? And they said in that meeting that the best thing to do would be to hide it and not let people know.
Wow.
And you can actually hide RFID. You can slip it between the layers of cardboard. You can drop it into the mold when you're pouring in the plastic that hardens around the microchip. You can put it, sew it into the seams of clothing. So you can hide this stuff. And their plan was, and I'm sitting there in horror listening to this, to hide it, let it get in everything for 5 or 6 years, and then if somebody finds out about it, say, oh, that old thing, we've been doing that forever, and act like it's something everybody's always known about. So I sat in that room and I said, that's absolutely not going to happen. I'm going to scream this from the rafters. And we did. And we wrote a best-selling book called Spy Chips, which I highly recommend people get a copy of. It's available on Amazon, Spy Chips. You can also visit our sort of historical website, spychips.com, from about 10 years ago. And we talk about the plans that these companies have for these spy chips to literally monitor every time you take the aspirin bottle off the shelf of your medicine cabinet, to literally monitor every time you take a Coke out of your own refrigerator so they can serve you ads for Pepsi on your cable TV. I mean, it's just shocking.
Wow.
Plans to monitor people in elevators, libraries, theaters, sports arenas, literally everywhere, even public restrooms, where everywhere you go, you would be monitored by these tiny microchips in the things you loan. So we stopped it. We actually fought it back. I've had some people say that we may have cost the industry $100 million. So I'm sure I'm no friend of the RFID industry. But we stopped it until now. And the first announcement after 10 years of silence since Bichips came out is that now Target says that they're going to roll this out in a dozen stores in 2015 and in all their stores by 2016. That means you could buy a pair of shoes at Target that has a microchip in its shoe, in the sole, that you could never see or remove or disable, that could have unique ID number 203847. You walk through a doorway 100 miles away, 1,000 miles away on the other side of the globe, and it reads 203847, and they look it up in the database and say, aha, that's Catherine Albrecht. That's that radio host I just saw her walk through the doorway. So the tracking potential of this is horrifying, and the fact that Target has begun this and is boasting about the fact that they're going to do this with literally no consumer benefit at all is absolutely bone-chilling to me.
Yes.
And I think it needs to be stopped.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, for our listeners that you've piqued their curiosity now, and they want to hear more, you've got a daily radio show. Where can they find that at?
I do. So I do a daily radio show at my name, CatherineAlbrecht.com. It's broadcast on a couple dozen radio stations live around the country, but I recommend you continue listening to this radio station rather than that. If you'd like to find it, you can go to my website where I have archives going back 8 years on virtually every topic. They are searchable. And the easy way to remember it, because most people can't spell Catherine Albrecht, is kmashow.com. And there's also a 24-hour listen line where you can hear the most recent show or the live show, which broadcasts every weekday afternoon from, you're in Central Time, right?
Yes. No, I'm in Eastern. Eastern. Yeah.
You're Eastern?
I'm in Eastern, so yeah.
So we're 4 to 6 Eastern time every weekday afternoon, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. And that 24-hour listen line, if people want to grab a pen, is 605-562-7703. And you don't have to listen between 4 and 6. You can listen at 2 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon because it just repeats. So it's kmashow.com or 605-562-7703. The private search engine is startpage.com. The private email is startmail.com. And the book, I Won't Take the Mark, is available at virtuepress.com with the frames, the beautiful gift wrap, and we'll ship it out with a nice note from you. And if you want to buy it on the cheap from Amazon, you can do that too.
Outstanding. And you do have some daily spots. I'm going to plug those because we play them on our radio station daily. Vignettes and they're very encouraging, but they're also informative. So I encourage our listeners to go to these websites and get this information. Call your radio station, say, "Hey, I'd like for you to air Catherine Albrecht's show. It's great stuff, and change your community."
It would be terrific. Yes,
that'd
absolutely
be great.
And this is the kind of stuff I talk about. I hear from listeners all the time that that I talk about things they can't find anywhere else. And I honestly think it's the truth, because this is what I do morning, noon, and night, is look at these issues and figure out how they fit in with biblical prophecy.
Amen. Well, Catherine, I very much appreciate your time, and thank you for joining me on the show, and I hope to have you back again pretty soon.
Well, Pastor Mike, it's been a real pleasure, and God bless you and your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of the Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License. Opening audio montage collection created by Micah 6.8 Productions. Visit them on the Internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, Pastor Mike at WOH.org.